Okay, so Masil Sharon gave us a number of compelling reasons as to why it should be obvious to a person that the purpose of a person existing in this world is not for Olam Hazeh, but it really is for something much more significant, for Olam Haba, and therefore they should take that responsibility seriously. It's be very difficult to fathom that the neshama, which is Chelek El Kamimal, comes from a source even higher than the angels, should also have an end game and have a desired outcome that is limited to the physical world. If it's such a spiritual, elevated, and noble chilek of a person's existence. That's one point. The other point is that a person's life in this world is so short and it's so difficult. It's clearly not a person's efforts coming to fruition. If anything, there's a lot of failure, and there's a lot of pain, and a lot of suffering. And it would be hard to imagine that that's where it all ends. Once we begin to incorporate into our mindset the notion that we have more of a long-term goal that we're seeking beyond the world that we live in right now, so then we begin to appreciate how important the mitzvahs are, how precious the Avodas Hashem is, and how valuable we should see them both. So, Mimela, those necessities of life, right? If you ask a person off the street what the necessities of life are, so they'll say food and drink and shelter, and all those are true, but it would be an incomplete answer if you didn't also say Torah and mitzvos, because we've just redefined even our existence here today as something that relates to something much bigger beyond our gashmias, and therefore without mitzvos, without Torah, which are the necessary keys to be able to achieve and be able to reach what is now no longer a 70, 80, 90 year enterprise, but it is an eternal enterprise, right? So you can't leave those out. However, we have to also appreciate the only way you can achieve a goal is if you take into account and you combine all the different pieces that all function as emtsayim, as intermediary vehicles to that point, right? The strength of those emtsayim, the power and the potential of those emtsayim, like for the word emtsa, a middle, right? Those are the intermediary points, intermediary tools, the vehicles that get you from point A to point B, right? So the more powerful they are, will also help to determine the nature of the completion of that goal. If you have to get from point A to point B in physical distance, so you can drive a car, you can ride a bicycle, you can walk, right? Each one of those are emtsayim. The car is emtsay, the bicycle is, and your legs and your feet if you're walking. Each one of those will determine how fast you get there, how tired you are when you get there, and that's again a muscle. So he says, I think what he's trying to allude to us is how critical all the mitzvahs are in all their small details. Let's just read the next sentence and I'll try to give a mashal. So, the issue sometimes people have in appreciating how important diktuk b'mitzvos are. When I say diktuk b'mitzvos, that doesn't just mean observance of mitzvos. Diktuk b'mitzvos, please turn your videos on, Rabbi Say. Diktuk b'mitzvos means not just fulfilling the mitzvos, but to be medakdeik, to be precise, every little aspect, to try to fulfill the mitzvah in all its component parts, to the most, to the greatest extent. And so why do we need to be careful about diktuk b'mitzvos? So, Moshulma Adavidom, I think Rupinkas has this in one of his farm. A number of contemporaries farm bring this as well. I don't know the precise details. You can look this up. But some, I don't know, 30 years ago, there was a shuttle launch. NASA was launching a shuttle. And they had a date set, and they had the takeoff was scheduled, and you know, the countdown was on, and very shortly before the rocket actually took off, they had to cancel it. And the reason that the technicians gave for canceling it was because the rocket, the launch pad, was positioned in a way that it was off from its trajectory by 0.00000025 of an inch. So now, when you think about something like that, right, it's ridiculous. Not only does it sound so minute and so inconsequential, but it cost about $25 million to be able to throw that launch out the window, to just forget about all the arrangements and all the preparations that went into place, and to schedule a second launch for the rocket that was already scheduled to go, came out to about $25 million. And I'm sure now the numbers would be even greater. So what exactly is the big deal? So the answer is because if the rocket down on Earth in Cape Canaveral is off by, again, you know, 0.0000025, you will not be able to see it. You need very, very exacting measurements and instruments to be able to even notice how that minuscule deviation. But that's when you're standing here. But as you travel thousands and thousands and thousands of miles into the air, so being off by just a little bit would end up diverting the rocket from its course by so far. You know, you're aiming towards Mars and you end up at Venus simply because that little change in where it's pointing will only completely manifest itself way down the road after you traveled so far of a distance that you're totally off course and you're not going to end up where you're planning to end up in the first place. So the lashon of the Sol Zisharim called Hefrish Katan Sheyimatzu BeEmtzayim, the smallest detail and the difference between one emtzai and the other emtzai, the way one mitzvah is performed versus the way the other mitzvah is performed, will ultimately bear itself out when you get to the end of the day. Even if you can't, you know, like, okay, this guy's esrog is 100% kosher, and this guy's is okay. It's nice, but it's not quite as beautiful, right? So that little difference is not going to be apparent to the naked eye at this point, but down the road, if a person's attitude toward mitzvos is that, but the evid is also okay, you know, little by little, it's going to add up, and it's going to have an impact on what his final accounting is as far as his kiyum mitzvos. And he gives another example, which is more concrete. He says, you know, if you're a diamond dealer, or you're a gold dealer, right? So everyone knows. You can look in the market, and you can listen to the news, you can watch the news, and they'll give you on a daily basis, you know, how much gold, how much silver is being sold for by the ounce, right? When it comes to measuring a diamond, you're not measuring ounces, you're measuring carats, smaller and more fine measurements that take something even as tiny as a diamond and give it its value based on its size. So when you're in those businesses, gold and silver and precious gems, you have to be medactic in the shear. You have to be medactic in the measurement, because that's how you rate, that's how you value such precious things. Because every little ounce, every half an ounce, every quarter of an ounce, every quarter of a carat has a very large impact on the final price. Yeah, Aaron, is that true? Quarter of a carat makes a difference. Okay, so we should be able to translate that into our mitzvos. If they have the same precious value to us, so then we'll appreciate that even the smallest little deviation is like a quarter of a carat, half of a carat, may not look like anything different to the naked eye, but it is very, very consequential. So we learn from this. The very next step, Zaktim Sol Zisharim, very, very, very heavy line. He says, we come out of this discussion with the conclusion that the existence of man in this world is simply to perform mitzvos. V'lavod, to do the service of Hashem. V'lamar b'nisayon, and to withstand the challenges, withstand the nisayon of Yiddishkeit. V'nolos ha'olam, in roi shiulo el la'ezer u'siul b'vad. We're summing up the entire discussion. all of the anos, all of the pleasures of this world, are there to help us, to benefit us, to further us in that path of Avodas Hashem, l'shiyel anachas ruach v'yishudas, to provide a person with calm and serenity and the ability to devote his attention, man yuchol fanas libol avodas osim v'talso love, to focus on the Avodas Hashem that rests upon him. So, again, it sounds very, 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 very rigorous, and sometimes it even appears to be words. They appear to be words that are beyond our reach, but it's not true. All it takes is a person's calibrating his thoughts and his actions with a mindset of Avodas Hashem to transform what he's already doing into a mitzvah. B'chol duchacha de'ehu, every single minute that you're sleeping, every single minute that you're playing ball, every bite that you take can be transformed into a mitzvah. Simply, if you have in mind that that's the reason you're doing it. As a positive corollary, the more you say that, the more you think that, when you engage in your gashmias, an inevitable result will be that you will actually modify engagement in your gashmias without even trying to. Right? This doesn't take a major effort to turn yourself into an ascetic tzaddik who lives on a mountaintop, who has no connection to Olam Hazeh. All you need to do is program your daily living to have this perspective, and memela, subconsciously, you will modify your physical behavior, your engagement in Olam Hazeh, to fit with the tachlis that you're assigning it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, dress for the job that you want to have, not the job you already have. Right? Now, I'm sorry, dress for the job you want, not just for the job you have. If you speak in a way that also relates to Olam Hazeh in the same way that a person who they're dressing for the higher position, they think of themselves differently, they motivate themselves more efficiently, and they accomplish more than they thought they could accomplish, exactly the same in Avodas Hashem. You won't even have to think about it, it'll be natural, it'll be subliminal, you'll be able to program yourself without much effort at all. Amnon Roy Lo Shitiya Kopani Asurak Boris Borach, Shul Yeloshum Takhat Sakhab Khomaisiya, Shiasem Kotnam Godol, Eliskariv, Elov Isbarach, Lishbor, Kalmachitos, Hamafsikos Beino, Levin Kono. What you need to do is to divert all of your actions in the direction of Avodas Hashem, whatever you're doing, to have no other purpose in every action, big or small, other than coming closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to remove mechitzos that divide between you and Hashem. That's also a critical line. We're breaking down mechitzos. I'll have to talk about that more at another time, but that is the entire goal of Avodas Hashem. People talk about, I want to be close to Hashem. What does it mean to be close to Hashem? Right? If he's here and I'm there and I can't even fathom how far that distance is at, what does it mean to be close to Hashem? So don't think about physically traversing distance, because that would be very disheartening. That would be very disillusioning. What you should think about is removing mechitzos, because you can be in immediate proximity of someone, but if there's a barrier there, so then you're not even going to see them. You're not going to be able to talk to them. You're not going to be able to feel their presence. So first work on reducing hefsek, reducing mechitza, and that will automatically bring you closer. When those mechitzos are removed, you will ignite a magnetic power that draws you after Hashem, again, without any effort, but just as the natural, the teva of things. Anything that you can identify and can determine is one of these emtsoim, one of these intermediary forces or tools that bring you closer to Hashem. Yir devachrav, run after it. Yochazbo, grab onto it, don't let go. Mashayuch alachshav shumanilaza, and anything that you see is something that's bringing you down, that's drawing you further away. Yivrach mimeno kivorech v'na'ish. Run away from it as if you're running away from fire. That's a great line. The Mefarshim ask, in the story of Yosef encounters the Eshet Potifar, and when he does, the final showdown, so he runs away. And what ultimately is his liability is that when he runs away, he leaves his clothing with her. And the Mefarshim asks, don't understand, what's the big deal? The fact that he left his clothing with her ultimately was incriminating. And that's what got him stuck in jail. And that's what was his downfall. So now, you could say the pshat is, right? You know, he could have fought back, right? He was a strong young man, and she was a woman. I'm sure he could have overpowered her and pulled away the clothing and removed any evidence of any wrongdoing. He could have done that. So maybe Hashgach HaPratis, because Baruch Hu didn't want that to happen, because Hashem wanted him to end up in jail and ultimately emerge from jail the way he did. Maybe, maybe. But Sefer Esainai brings that others learn the following. It's true that he could have overpowered her. However, every moment that he stayed there longer would have made it more and more difficult emotionally and spiritually for him to pull away. Every second of even in a struggle, becoming misragel, allowing his psyche to somehow become familiar and accustomed to the circumstances, would have made it more difficult to overcome the Yetzirah and pull away. That's reality. That's reality. But if a person is standing in front of a fire, right? So he can try to put it away, put it out, right? He can try to put it out, but it's probably going to be much more safer for him. Much safer for him to try to run away, right? So why bother? Just run away. The longer you stay, the more you may overcome, you may put out the fire, but you subject yourself to more danger the longer that you stay. So Yosef HaTzadik had to run away because he knew he'd be safe no longer in the present. What he was sacrificing, what false accusations they could level against him, okay, he'll deal with them then. But the risk of succumbing to the Yetzer Hara was too great. He couldn't stay there any longer. Let's try to finish this Hakdamah, Rabbosai. Kinnish Nemar Dov, Kanafshi Acharecha, B'tamchi Yiminecha. David HaMelech says, my nefesh is attached to you. It wants to become close to you, and you are supporting me. Your right hand supports me. So I'm going to grab onto anything I can that maintains that attachment. Since my entrance to this world is for that purpose, to achieve that kurva, so automatically my escape from that that danger, right, is a necessity, and anything that could prevent me from come closer to you, or anything that takes me away from you, is automatically my arch nemesis, and I will make sure to fight against it. Once we have this whole Hagdama laid out, and all these truisms established, so our next job is to go point by point, detail by detail, to take the generalities of the Hagdama and the philosophy that the Hagdama provides for us, and work step by step to get there. Metchilas Hadavar at Sofo, from the beginning till the end. Moshe Sidron Pinchas Ben Yor B'Mar Mishal Shavin Kvar Back to Masenu, and we'll be utilizing the ladder of Pinchas Ben Yor that we referenced earlier in the Hagdama before this parak paragalf. Vim Hazahiros Vazrizos Hanakios Aprishos Hatara Hasidos Hanava Yiras Achay Vakedusha Va'at Nevarim Echad Echad V'Siat Tishmaya. So he lays out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 steps, okay? And these 9 steps, sorry, and each of these 9 steps have a parak that introduces them, defines them, a parak that tells us how to reach them, and a final parak that tells us how to avoid the factors that will make it more difficult for us to achieve these midos. Okay, we'll pick up on this Mr. Shem next week.